wonder if we could just turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 18. Just a simple thought following from what we had at the end of our last Bible reading, and we were sharing in the break, chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, this is David, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And that will do it for the passage, really. It's just really a simple thought. We've been thinking about the Lord Jesus and his pathway here, that pathway of victory, a pathway that led on to Calvary's cross, that path of humility, obedience, dependence upon God that led on to the cross. And Paul reminded us at the end of the meeting, as we thought of that position that David took in defeating Goliath, the one who really is a picture of Satan, David having gone into that valley and there victorious, having used his sling, and then we reminded that he cut Saul's head off with Saul's own sword. And we know that David really went into that place of death, and really a picture of the Lord Jesus, who did that, won that mighty victory for us. And we know that Jonathan was a man of faith, but he had, in this instance, had to look on. None else could stand before this great foe. Saul, with all his height and as the leader of the people, he could do nothing. Jonathan, neither, was not able to stand in this situation. They were all slaves of the Philistines, unless somebody could defeat this giant that defied the armies of the living God. And so we see Jonathan as the son who probably knew that he should have gone forward, but he didn't have that which it took to defeat this giant. And we know that, of course, for ourselves, as we look on and think of the Lord Jesus and his death upon the cross, there's nothing that we could do. There was no part that we could play. There was nothing that the disciples could do. They all forsook our Lord Jesus and fled. The victory was all his own. What a wonderful victory it is for us today to look back at, to know that eternal victory, to know that all that he has accomplished for God and for us. And we stand in all the blessing of that. And what could have been if we were lost in sin and bound for hell? And yet our blessed Lord Jesus was prepared to go that path of dependence and obedience to the Father, that which was ever in the counsels of God, that he should go to the cross to give his life for us. And what a victory it was to Jonathan in reality to see that giant defeated, his head off, David holding that head aloft, and how his love for David was kindled. And he, in this verse, it says, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We can be encouraged, really, by Jonathan, because we know that Jonathan's love only went so far, and Jonathan wasn't prepared in the end to go into that path of reproach, and where David was. He kept with his father in the palace. But nevertheless, and we confess how often our love for the Lord Jesus is not like it should be, and how far are we prepared to go in standing for him. But Jonathan did love him as his own soul. There was no doubt about it. That act that David did had a great impression upon him. We see here they made a covenant together because he loved him as his own soul. Yes, Saul, you know, he was jealous of David. They said Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul eyed him from that day forward. And the flesh doesn't appreciate the things of God, the things of our Lord Jesus. But Jonathan, he loved him. He knew that David was going to be preferred before him. And here we see him strip himself of his robe, all that was spoke of who he was, the king's son, the prince, the future one to reign. He gave it to David, his garments, even to his sword, his bow and his girdle. All that spoke of who he was, all that he would do, everything was given to David to show that he was putting David in that place above him. And he was going to take a submissive place as one who would follow David. What a wonderful picture that is, and how it just made me think of that wonderful victory that our Lord Jesus has done, and what should our response be to him? He's still rejected. David was hunted as a partridge on the mountains. Where is there a place in this world for our Lord Jesus? We know that there is still a place. There is a place where he seeks to gather with his own. But in the world, there is no place. He's not wanted. And yet we have the opportunity, may only be a few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months, to be here for him and to seek to give him everything that we have, to deny anything that is of our own rights, of anything that is for our pride, our position in this world, and to yield to our Lord Jesus as a true response of love to him. That's a simple thought I had before me. May the Lord bless his word to you.